When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
Smartcast. You're listening to a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Welcome to A View from the Stands, a podcast series in which we discuss the new normal in the world of sports. I'm Aditya Iyer, and with me is the national sports editor of HD, Rudraneel Sengupta.
We are in the presence of greatness. This is how England captain Joe Root described Ben Stokes at the end of the Old Trafford test. And we'd be hard-pressed to find anyone in the world who disagrees with that statement on the finest all-rounder in the world today, who also happens to be our topic for the latest episode of A View from the Stands. Welcome, and I will let Rudra expand on Stokes's greatness right now, but all I can say is, what a player, right?
Absolutely. That was a good introduction, Aditya. I mean, but Root also called Stokes Mr. Incredible.
He looked like a cartoon character.
yes. And in fact, he said he's going to end up looking like him. Because he looks a bit like Mr. Incredible, of course, based a little bit on Johnny Bravo, with like humongous barrel-chested guy with a tiny waist and you know, a bit of a sagging belly. but Stokes, my God. I just want to go to the match, right? Second innings, Stokes is batting. And he's on 29, and he's been promoted to open the innings, and because Joe Root wants a big score very, very quickly, and Stokes is just hitting it out of the park. He's on 29, hits a shot to mid off, right? Comes straight to John Campbell, who's fielding there, a complete sitter, but it drops it on the stump. Mike Shannon Gabriel, who was the bowler, let out a blood curdling shriek. It's like a primal scream, and in that scream you could feel what Stokes meant, what Stokes's wicket meant. But of course, he finished on 78 of 57, gave England a 300 plus run lead. England won the match, tied the series. This is what Stokes does.
Yeah, incredible. And see, you did mention that he opened in the second innings. And I just want to kind of double down on that a little bit, because there is nothing on the cricket field that he can't do, right? In the first innings, England are wobbling a little bit. He and Dom Sibley kind of like hunker down a little bit. And then he scores this glorious, like very test innings of Test match like innings of 176, where he paces it like a test match, right? Like, you know, his strike rate is some 40, 45 or whatever. And in the second innings, like, they want him to open with Joss Butler so that they can quickly declare. And they're playing against time more than against West Indies at this point. And who else but Stokes walks out to open, right? And he's going at a run of ball in the evening of day four, and he's terribly upset with himself because he can't step it up even more. And the next day, like, there was 100 for the taking if they weren't playing against time and waiting to declare. Like, this guy could have made another 150 in the next, like, I mean, he would have reached like a personal score of 150 in the next like 45 or 50 balls. He can just do absolutely anything. To just continue this point on things that Stokes I mean, he's just a freak, right? Like, he can do absolutely anything on a cricket field. He's bowling
he's
the over.
He's got you excited. You're like sputtering and stuttering right now with excitement.
I am, because I'm losing my train of thought. I'm catching another one. You know, like, just he's bowling the over just before before tea on the fifth day. And Jermaine Blackwood is batting on 50-something. And
they're stitching a great partnership right there. You know, West Indies taking
precisely.
The game away from. Taking the game
precisely.
Away from England. Yeah.
They're about to take it away from England. And, like, Blackwood drives, like, Stokes down the ground. You know, which goes slightly past the vacant mid-off area. And Stokes, like, hunts the ball down and chucks it to the keeper. Like, he's fielding off his own bowling, right? I mean, this is not in the circle. The next ball, he comes around the wicket, bowls the perfect bouncer and gets Blackwood caught behind down the leg side and breaks that invaluable partnership. And became the first guy in the process for England to score more than 250 aggregate runs in a test match and take more than one wicket. There's just something about him. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm gushing and I realize it. But yeah, this guy is possibly the greatest thing to have happened to cricket since the retirement of
Cummins. And you're talking about a time when we have Steve Smith and Virat Kohli. So, wow. Yeah,
absolutely. And I love them both, but Stokes is seriously something else.
Right. I mean, and look at that first innings, 176 from 356 balls. It's the first time he's batted more than 300 balls. And that's saying a lot for somebody like Stokes. Because you look at him, you know that, you know, this guy, he doesn't have it to last 300 balls. I mean, he was surprised himself, really. He came out and he said so. That I didn't know I had it in me to last 300 balls. But he does. And the thing is, he's had the most incredible summer in 2019, right? He won England the World Cup. You know, England were about to lose the Ashes and he pulled them, like, single-handedly pulled them through and drew the series.
What an innings that was in Headingley.
You know, absolutely. So, you know, but this guy, he comes in the second test to bat. He spent most of the 2019 winter trying to work on different aspects of his batting. He's not just saying, right, I'm the best. That's it. You know, I'm just going to blow it all apart. No, he's going back. He wants to learn. He's working on the small little nuances and he's changing his stance just a little bit. And
I'm all open now. Atherton pointed that out too in commentary. Anyway,
It is far more open. And this is something it worked with Paul Collingwood to get to this stance and everything. And all of this led to this 176, to him lasting 300 balls. And in the interview after that, he said that, you know, West Indies were very, very disciplined and we knew that they were going to be, and this is the strategy that they were going to go with. And they're going to hang the ball wide to test my patience, is what he said. And he said, you know, I had to be more patient. I just had to trust my discipline, right? And to think of somebody who, even in the wake of what he's done in 2019, to come and learn more and to spend time, you know, ironing out things and to get better. You know, better on his technique, better with his patience, better with how he paces his innings, how he plays for the team. So it is really incredible.
Yeah, put it perfectly, actually. With him coming back after the season that he had in 2019, like you said, and for him to still be as hungry, to be as inspired, is just a bit crazy, you know? I mean, like, I really have to keep going back to Callis, right? Because he was the last time that we saw an all-rounder of that stature. A guy who, I mean, depending on whether you're Aussie or Indian, there are comparisons. If you're Aussie, then, you know, Callis is basically the guy who scored, I think, 50 runs less than Ricky Ponting and took as many wickets as Brett Lee. If you're Indian, then the comparison just becomes Sachin Tendulkar and Zahid Khan, right? He's these two guys put together. At the same time, he's 2,000 runs less than Sachin and 20 wickets less than Zahir. But that's one guy doing all of that, right? And I was just basically trying to see if Ben Stokes would live up to... Because the big test for all these all-rounders is basically to come and do well in the subcontinent. And specifically that's India, the Indian team has been so good in the last 20-odd years at home. And I saw that Callis basically hit like 300s in India over four tours and took like seven wickets. And these are not bad numbers because, see, he was a first change bowler, but you don't expect him to come and like, you know, bend his back all the time, right? And he had like a best bowling figures of like 3-4 something, and he's hit 300s. He's nearly hit a fourth in his very first tour in 2000. He got out for 95 in Bangalore. And then I looked at Stokes' numbers. I was like, you know, this guy is the yardstick, right? He's the benchmark for Stokes. Like, what does he have to do in India for him to kind of like, you know, be even better than Callis? And I realized that he's basically wiped away a lot of Callis's numbers in one series in 2016. A much longer series because it was a five-match series. Yeah, I'm not kidding. In the first test match in Rajkot, he walked in at 6 and he hit 100. In the second test match in Vishakhapatnam, he hit a 70. In the third test match in Mohali, he got a 5-4, which is something Callis never did, right? Uh-huh. He had some 350 runs and 8 wickets, which is one more than Callis over like 4 tours. What is wrong with this guy? I mean, like, really? It's just, help me wrap my head around him.
I'll help you, right? This man, there's only 6 people in the history of cricket who have 4,000 plus runs and 150 plus wickets.
Yeah.
Ben Stokes is one of them, of course. Shaq Callis is the other one. Sir Ian Botham. Yeah. I mean, this list is quite... it's a predictable list, of course. We all know Kapil Dev, Danny Vettori, and Gary Sobers. Now, Stokes has gotten to his 4,000 plus runs and 150 plus wickets at a faster clip than everybody except for Gary Sobers, right? He's done it in 64 tests. Sobers did it in 63. Here's a question for you. I mean, I shouldn't ask you this question. If you had to pick Jacques Callis or Ben Stokes, who would you pick?
It's going to be Ben Stokes right now.
I'm so surprised.
Like, absolute massive Callis fan, right? Like, I was lucky to cover that tour in 2010-11 when India went to South Africa and didn't lose a test series for the first time. And a very reason for why India didn't win their first series in South Africa ever was because Callis played possibly the greatest second innings knock in the third test, where Harbhajan and India had them at 64 for 4 and Callis came out, broken rib, and reverse swept India out of the game and the series, hit a 164. If I'm not mistaken. And this is immediately after 100 in the first innings. An innings that basically stopped after his rib was broken by Srishant. I was lucky enough to see that. And I thought, like, I'll never ever see a player who kind of like, you know, can ever match him in stature and greatness and all of that. I think Ben Stokes, after that summer of 2019, not just the World Cup, not just the 80-odd that he scored in the final, not just him walking out in the super over and doing what he had to do, but also the test series in, the Ashes and his 135 in Headingley. Like, really, I mean, I think it's just swayed the needle a little harder towards Stokes and what he's continuing to do now. Like, it's just, it's all a bit ridiculous, you know? I mean, I really cannot think of a better word than that.
I mean, and you were there to get your mind blown at the final of the World Cup. Watching Stokes do what he did. But you know what? The World Cup, the tone was set for me actually by Ben Stokes, because it's the opening match where England were playing South Africa. And he hit 89 from 79 balls. And he picked 2 wickets. I'm like, wow, this guy
and
is just...
And he also took a catch, boss.
And
that,
yes, that catch!
Of Andile Felukwayo. I mean, it just...
That's right. at the over. And the way he went at that, like the... You know, throwing himself, taking it backwards with his other hand. I mean, what an athletic cricketer! I mean, he really does it. He does it all. And and of course, you spoke about the 135 at Headingley, where he led Jack Leach, the last batsman England had, to an unbeaten stand of 76. How many of those runs did Leach score?
One?
The greatest one run in the history of English cricket. Now, I have another question for you. Would you pick Ben Stokes at Headingley, hitting that 135 to drag England back into the series, or Ben Stokes at the final, hitting his 84 not out, two sixes in the final over to tie the game. Which Ben Stokes?
The 135 in Headingley.
The 135.
I mean, you must understand that in the first innings, England got bowled out for less than 70, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah.
67. Yeah. That's the first
innings. Yeah, and it was all but over in the second innings as well. Like, I mean, he was basically swinging for the fences for about 25 overs, right? And if you watched the documentary, The Test, where, you know, it's obviously from an Aussie perspective, but Tim Payne and all these guys, they're on record saying, like, you know, we kept thinking that a guy who's basically hitting the ball, he's basically approaching his innings in such a fashion, is going to hole out at some point. It's going to happen. You cannot do this for 25 straight overs and get away with it.
Yeah, in a test match.
I mean, I'd put that innings up there with Lara's 153 in Barbados and Lakshman's 281 in Calcutta. I mean, they were in different scenarios. I mean, Lara's 153 was closer to Stokes's 135 because they were both fourth innings knocks versus Lakshman's, which was a follow-on knock in the third innings. And also Kusal Pereira's 153, which happened in South Africa. These were perhaps the greatest knocks of all time, and Stokes is already out there. And this was just like for just guiding the perfect chase, right? I mean, one of the toughest chases ever. Lara had to do it with Walsh. Stokes had to do it with Leach.
Yes, Leach, Walsh. two of the best batsmen ever seen.
Yeah,
and you know what? Who Stokes reminds me of? He's got a thing about him. He's got that old-fashioned Englishness. He's red-haired, and he's huge, and he's got that beard and that hair. He looks like somebody from King Arthur's table. He's one of the knights. or you could cast him as King Henry VIII. When Henry VIII was younger, he looked a lot like that.
Oh, did he?
Big guy with red hair and a red beard. That's him. Game of Thrones. You know, throw him in any of those period dramas. He's going to hold his own. Can't you just see him taking a sword out, you know, sitting on a horse?
Yeah. If you say so, Rudra.
Yes, I say so. That's my fantasy. You had your fantasy on Stokes.
I had mine and you had yours. And I think that's a great point to end this on before this gets even more bewildering for our listeners.
Yes, let's end.
So basic point is we love Stokes. The world loves Stokes. Everyone loves Stokes. Maybe that one guy those five guys he beat up in that barroom brawl in Bristol don't like Stokes, but everyone else likes Stokes. Maybe like those guys like Stokes too now. God knows, right? Because it's impossible to not like Stokes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for listening to us.
This was an episode of A View from the Stands. Do like and follow us on at HT Smartcast on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter, or write to us on podcasts@hindustantimes.com. You can listen to more podcasts by logging on to htsmartcast.com.
This was a Hindustan Times production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
When raising a Pacifico beer with friends you just met turns into hitting up their friend's local art show, getting inspired to create something together, and painting your first mural, you found what was waiting for you. Pacifico. Life's waiting. 21 plus only. Discover responsibly. Pacifico Clara Beer, imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.